Well, no, we can probably keep this on. It'll be all right. Folks will learn something from this. Why don't you turn over to Psalm 127. Just have two scriptures and do this real quick. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Familiar scripture. Now this doesn't have anything to do with the lesson today, but we're going to just share something here. Well, it does in a way. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I don't like laboring in vain. I mean, it can get, you know, it gets frustrating when you think you got it and you don't have it and you don't have his insight and his help. So unless we get his assistance, unless he helps us build the house, we labor in vain in the things that we do for the kingdom of God. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you're familiar with this, in verse 11. And it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, colon." That means there's something coming after. "Till." So that means that this is going to happen until. Till what? "We all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now I'm sharing that this morning because God is placed in a church. In the body of Christ, there are offices, there's structure. And of course, as much as we get excited, we worship God, and we're free to worship Him, we have liberty, but there's structure. And there are offices, just like in any worldly environment, there are offices. And God places an anointing upon those individuals that sit in those offices. Now, what does that mean? When there's an anointing, there's an ability to see something, see a need. There's an ability to know what's needed. Why? Because God is giving you revelation as to what's needed. Now, I'll be honest with you. Before I stood in this office, I didn't know. I didn't. And I'd look sometimes at Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, I'd say, "Man, how'd they know that?" Or you'd question, "Why are they doing that?" Which I'm sure some of you may do with some of the things we do. You go, "What the heck are they doing? Don't they know what they're doing?" Yes, we do. Because God is giving us understanding and insight. How many are parents in here? Same thing. You have an anointing when you stand in that office as a parent. And there's things that you see and know about your children, because it comes with that. And it's the same thing. I'm just trying to use an example here. So, with that, the pastors here, we have an understanding or a knowing of what's needed for the flock. I mean, we can't do that without his assistance, but that anointing gives us and helps us to see and to know and to sense things. So, with that, I'm just using that as an instruction so that as we go forward, things that you get excited about, things that you think need to be done, run them by us. Is that understood? And the reason I say that, Pastor Judy is a guest here. She's a guest. She stands in an office, but when she comes in here, she's going to look to us for what's needed in this local flock, because she's not anointed to know that. Now, God will reveal some things to minister to us because she stands in an office. But you understand that? But in this local flock, she's going to not, God's going to anoint us to see and to know. And when she comes in, she'll say things to us that confirms what we already know. And that happens, which I like about that. And so when you have things that you're excited about, don't go to Pastor Judy or Pastor Jesse to kind of share your revelation. Come to us with it, and don't, you know, and if it's of God, and I'm going to say it that way, if it's of God, it'll bear witness with us. Because every person, and always remember this, every person that's anointed, because everybody's anointed, some are anointed to do certain things. Pastor Jesse is anointed as a pastor, but he's a psalmist, and he operates in that office in the ministry of helps. But every person may not be assigned here. That's a God thing. And God builds the house. And if we don't let him, we labor in vain. And it can be a big mess. I'm going to leave it there because I had some discussions. You see, some things you don't know about me. I spent almost 25 years about Pastor Clinton. Now, I may not be a musician. I sang in the choir for a number of years. I have a great ear. I can follow lines and sing. I don't play a keyboard, but I know one thing. When I was around Pastor Clinton, he didn't like bad playing, and he didn't like bad singing. And I had that conversation with Pastor Jesse yesterday, and he just went. He said, one thing I cannot take is bad playing and bad singing. See, there's one thing I know about musicians. They know what they want. And it's like when you have anybody, I sang in choirs where we had bad singers. We did. Not here. Now, I don't mean to infer that. We had good singers here, but I sang places where we had bad singers, and it disrupted the whole choir. And that's the same thing that can happen when you don't have someone that's picked by God to come in and flow with everybody else. And there's things, I won't discuss it now, but many, many discussions that I had with Pastor Clinton about things that he had with some of the musicians that were here that grieve the Spirit of God. Because if a musician doesn't flow and yield with the Spirit of God and wants to do a little riff, the Spirit of God will do this and leave you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So let's let the Lord build the house. Amen. Is that understood?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Didn't mean to get sidetracked on that, but sometimes it helps. Let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. Let's read that real quick. If you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. These are scriptures that are dear to me. Psalm 119:130. You don't need to turn there. But I love this scripture. The entrance of his word, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I'm going to use this sort of as a platform to jump off a little bit today. But some of the translations, I like the Holman Christian Standard. It says, the revelation of your words bring light. The revelation of God's word brings light, and it gives understanding to the inexperienced. And I like the Young's Literal Translation. It says, the opening of thy words brings light, or gives light, or it enlighteneth. And the Amplified is, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. So it's the Spirit of God is going to unfold and reveal what we need to know. So if we just open our hearts, we'll receive. Now, we've been speaking on the subject of grace, and what I want to just touch lightly today, we're going to pick up on Tuesday. So if you're around, you come out. But the words that I heard the Holy Ghost say was greater grace to affect the world. Greater grace to affect the world. And so these lessons are not so much about information, but more for transformation. And so we need to be transformed. Transfigured is really that word in Romans. It's metamorpho-u, which is really transfigure. We need to be transfigured into His image. And how's that going to happen? Through the Word of God. And also, grace and peace are multiplied unto us by the Word of God, through the knowledge of God. So we're to grow in grace. And if there's one thing that's needed now, there's something that is going to distinguish the church from the world. And it's His grace. It's His favor that rests upon us. And of course, some of the things that we were sharing is that when He spoke to Moses, He said, "My presence will go with you." When we talk about grace, we're talking about His favor, His divine ability, His presence. And that going with us is going to make the difference for you and me and anybody else. And that's the thing that's going to distinguish the church, is the presence of God on our lives. And so as we go forward, we're to grow in grace. Now, some of the thoughts I want to share today, the Holy Ghost is kind of focusing my thinking and my heart today on words. How we use our words, what we say with our words, because faith-filled words is going to gain us access, and those faith-filled words are going to have an impact upon the lives and people that we come in contact with. We can't just use words frivolously anymore. We know too much. We've grown, and God's going to hold us accountable for the things that we say and how we use our words. And the words that we use are important. So one of the thoughts that I'm going to read this scripture because time, we're running here. And we're going to pick up on Tuesday. But Romans 5:1, you can read this for yourself or write it down or turn there if you're quick. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 2, "by whom also we have access by" what? "Faith" into what? "Into this grace," and I like this, "wherein we stand." So we're to stand in this grace. But we have access into it by what? By faith. And that word "stand" is a Greek word, histemi, and it means to cause or to make to stand, to fix, establish, to stand immovable. Boy, that sure sounds like in Matthew 7:24, it talks about building your house on a rock, on a foundation, so that when the storms of life come and they beat against the house, it doesn't stand, it doesn't fall. But if it's built on sand, it's going to fall. And it says, "Great was the fall." So this grace wherein we stand is the rock. Who is grace? Jesus. He is grace and truth. And so we stand upon Him. He's the immovable rock. Now, I'm not going to go back through, for time's sake, you can go back and get those additional lessons. But for today, I want to focus on a couple of thoughts here. In 2 Peter 1:2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That word knowledge is epignosis. That means accurate and precise knowledge. So we need to have accurate and precise knowledge. That to me is, that's part of revelation. That's the unfolding of God's word. When something's revealed to you, it's accurate and it's precise. Now, let's turn over to chapter 11 of Hebrews, just for a moment. The Holy Ghost told me this morning, he said, it's important that we as a church and as a people be attentive to our words, how we use our words. And you're going to see how this ties in a moment. Not going to spend long, but you're going to see this. You're going to walk away with something. Hebrews 11:1. Let me get over there. It says, now faith is the substance, say substance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the evidence? Huh? Hello, what's the evidence? Thank you. That word substance is a word called hypostasis. That sounds like a big word, right? What it means is, it means a thing put under something. It means a substructure. It means a foundation. It means that which has foundation. That which has actual existence, a substance. It means confidence. So what you have is you've got something that's a substructure. What is that? Faith. And it has real substance, a real existence. And what is it supporting? What is it supporting? Read the scripture verse. It says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. So, faith is this substructure, this foundation that is the evidence of things what? Not seen. You can't see it, but my faith in the Word of God is my foundation. And so the things that I hope for, my expectation rests on my confidence and assurance in God's Word. Amen. You got it?
Yes.
So my assurance is based on what? His will. His Word, which is forever settled in heaven. So I have this assurance, and I can expect something to come to pass because I'm convinced. Why am I convinced? He said it. He promised it. I don't have to feel it. But here's the thing. Let's just take a moment here. Let me read this to you. You can write this down. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence. See, what are we talking about? Assurance, confidence. We're talking about faith. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, what? We know. We know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So when you have faith, there's a confidence, there's an assurance that He heard you. And if you know that He heard you, you know you have the petitions that you've desired of Him. Now, one scripture, you can write this down. This is Isaiah 32:17. It says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. So the work of righteousness is peace and quietness, but it's also what? Assurance. So when we have a right standing with God, we are confident and assured that He hears us. There's no condemnation in our heart. See, if your heart condemns you, you're going to have trouble standing in a thinking. Your mind is going to say, I'm not right with God. I don't feel righteous. You didn't say you had to feel righteous. He called you righteous. So that means you are righteous. Now, concerning our words, one of the things that we want to keep in mind is that when God made man, He made us in His image and in His likeness. Let's just take a moment. Let's go over to Genesis and let's take a quick look at something. When we're talking about words, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And now what does verse 28 say? And God did what? Blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and so forth. But what did He say? He said, you are to do what? Be fruitful, multiply, and do what? Replenish. When you look up that word replenish, replenish means to stock with abundance. It means to recover former fullness. It means to perpetually renew and supply. If you just look it up in the dictionary, it says to supply fully. That means to resupply something. It means to fill or build up again. So God gave a command. He said, blessed. Now when He blesses you, let's take a moment. Man, I need time today. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read it. You can write this note down. I'm going to try to get these thoughts over. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many are blessed? Why are you blessed? The Word says you're blessed, but I don't feel blessed. The Word says you're blessed. Galatians 3:9, you can write it down. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, when somebody's blessed, that means that you have divine favor and anointing upon you to speak. And the power within the words that you release has the ability to make that come to pass. Your words. And so your words have strength and power. Every time you speak something, you're activating something. You're making something come to pass. And so we, the church, should not be subject to this world. The issues and problems in this earth is not the government's problem. It's the church's problem. And the church has what? Blessed. And the church, because they're blessed, has the power to change and resupply. And we're looking to the government. We're looking to things to supply us, when in fact the church has God's divine presence and favor to speak and to change and to resupply. Amen. That which is lacking. And it's your words that are going to do that. So we need to be conscious of the fact that when we speak, when we use words, that something is going to change. You know, I went home, it was Friday night. I was using the internet when I got home late, real late. Anyways, Pastor Judy's laughing, and Pastor Jesse, they had us out late. Excuse me. I'm not going to lie. We all were out late. But anyways, I was home. I came home and I said, well, let me just do some things. I wanted to send a couple of emails. And so using the internet, Saturday morning, I got up. I'm going to do some more work. Nothing. And I see this little light on my modem just blinking at me. And I said, oh, no, you're not going to do that today. And so you know how we do. I went through all of the things that I knew to do three or four times, and it still didn't connect. So I decided, okay, well, let me go and I got an iPad. Let me start a chat up with the provider. Let me get a chat going, and I'm back and forth, and they're, you know, commiserating, right? And so he said, well, I'm sorry, you know, there's no outages in your area, and so we'll set up a service call. And me, finally, I went through that, and none of his appointment times were going to work for me. So I said, I'll get back to you. And finally, it's like, you know how we say, I should have had a V8. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I said, I got work to do. I said, no. So when I came home, we took Pastor Jesse and Pastor Judy out to dinner. When I came home, I said, now, wait a minute. I took that box, I laid hands on it, and I said, in Jesus' name, I command you. I just didn't release words. They came out of here. I said, I command you to work. So I sit down, start up the computer, and I'm sitting there, and the next thing I see, that light went ting. I didn't do anything different other than do what? Speak to it. Faith filled words change things. Always remember, we went to the book of Genesis. God created this earth. He did everything he did with what? Words. So we can say this is a word planet. And it all consists by and through words. So what's going to change it and affect it? Words. And he made us in his image and likeness so that we could do what? Perpetuate the kingdom through words. And that's what we're going to need to do. We need to watch our words. You know, I'm so tired. I'm so broke. What is going to change your condition? The blessing that is upon you. That's what's going to distinguish you from those who lack. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody else's business may hit the skids. What is going to distinguish you? You speak words that bless and release faith-filled words of the covenant, and it will supply that which is lacking. It'll resupply. You're not sure? Turn over to Romans for a minute. I got two scriptures. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." What's another word for quicken? Resupply. So the Holy Ghost has put in us His presence, His blessing upon us to resupply that which is missing in our lives. You quicken, make alive, resupply that which is missing in your body. What did Jesus do? He went about, He healed the sick. He did what? Raised the dead. He also, what else did He do? He healed the maimed. People who had parts missing. Resupply. That's what's going to distinguish us. Let's stop looking. Look, let's not get in the ditch over health care and all of these things. That's a fine thing. That's a wonderful thing. But we're not to put our trust in man. Because any government that can supply everything can take it away. And you better learn to trust God. You are the difference in this earth. I'm telling you. One of the things that, and something that has been in my heart, God is going to take us and put us in situations that we can't fix.
Amen.
He's going to take us and put us and give us assignments where there's no way you could buy it. And you're going to look to what's inside to release words to make it come to pass through the power of God's word. And that's what's going to make the difference. Those who cry out to God, that look to Him, and He anoints your words, you're going to do what? Resupply, take that which He gives you assignments. There's no way He's going to send you to places and jobs where you're going to be, your first reaction is going to be, "Get me out of here. I don't want to live here. I don't want to work with these people. I don't want to be around here." That's flesh. That's your flesh. But just settle down and look on the inside, and He will give you the strategy and give you the words to affect that environment. We're already there. For this church, His favor, His divine favor rests upon this ministry. And He's given us already an assignment to affect this area. Pastor Clinton, when he was alive, said the Spirit of God said, this is the spirit center for the nations. That's the first thing. And now He says, okay, so that you are, you start calling in these things. There's no way you can buy it. You can't work enough to earn it or pay for it. There's no way you could afford it. But there's going to be a transfer of wealth that'll flow in to take it. Or to give it to you, one or the other. And so let's not be affected by the surroundings. Let's affect the surroundings with the favor of God and your words. And not just use words loosely and in jest. So the words that you speak have the power within them to change something, make it come to pass. So when we bless, you know, sometimes we've gotten in a habit around here, and I don't say that you should stop, but I want you to think about this. People walk around and they say, bless you, brother, bless you. Blessings all over you. And sometimes, one of these times, if I stop you and say, what do you mean by that? Don't be shocked. Because I'm going to stop you and say, what do you mean? Because that's like saying, Gesundheit. Bless you, brother. Bless me with what? What are you blessing me with? So you're using words loosely because it's a nice thing to do. But you're more than that. You're made in God's image and likeness. And you can think and operate in His class. So don't lose your words loosely. Say, bless you, brother. Bless me with what? Because your words released should empower it in my life to come to pass. See, when you want to bless somebody, it might be, bless you, brother. That could be what it is. With a smile, you're smiling and saying, bless you. And it may be some other kind of blessing. But Deuteronomy, let's turn over there for a minute. You're familiar with this scripture verse, Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore do what? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So when you release words of blessing, you're empowering that you've spoken to come to pass. Just like Jesus did. Jesus spoke to what? The fig tree. His words were empowered to bring to pass that which he spoke. And so are our words. And the Holy Ghost is telling me this morning, you know, don't get upset at me. If you're going to get upset at God. Because he's telling me we need to focus our words and watch what we're saying, because the objectives that God is going to start unfolding to this ministry is going to take a transformation of your thinking and your words. We're going to have to be of one mind and one speech. That means we don't say, that's too hard. Nothing is too hard for God. And don't say, please don't say this. Because if you think something is too hard, as a man thinketh, so is he. And we know this. There are racial injustices. I spoke with a lady, a dear friend. She was born and raised in Ireland. You want to talk about divide and injustice. She was a Protestant. That whole country is mainly Catholic. You couldn't even associate with somebody. You were dirt. And so there, the same devil that is trying to divide over all these issues, he hasn't come up with anything new. He's trying to divide the church. He's trying to divide this country. And we need to wake up and stop taking the bait and stop talking about this, the things that we see, and take the blessing that's upon us and speak to them and say, out of here.
Hallelujah.
You leave. See, because if we take the bait, you've been deceived.
Amen.
If you think it's too hard, if you think there's a barrier in your life, then you've been deceived.
Amen.
You've been deceived. Because if God is with you, no man can stop it. No man. No man is going to resist us living in that mall. No man. No government. Because God has already designed it. And why? Because he wants to reach people. And the time is short. So what's going to distinguish us? His blessing, his favor upon our lives. And so he may send us, as we heard words in this, to this ministry, and words that have gone out over people, he's going to send people out of this ministry in some ways to displace and to affect nations. And he may send you into places that are, to the flesh, very uncomfortable. He may send some. Didn't say he was going to send all. But he may send some into places that are very, very difficult to the flesh. But with God, you will change the block. You will change the city. You will change the area. Because you'll know who you are.
Amen.
You'll know who you are.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Let's take that in our hearts. And when it gets hard, because to the flesh it will be hard. You say, no. I know who I am in Christ. Turn a minute over. We'll close with this scripture because there's so much to share. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. You know this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's take a look at Paul's account here. He's having a hard time in the flesh, isn't he? He's having a hard time here. He knows he's anointed. He knows he's called of God. He knows that. But God already told him, you're going to suffer some things in the flesh before he even got started. But here he comes. He says, you know, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know. One caught up to heaven to hear things that are not lawful to speak. And so here he is. He's going along and he's getting buffeted and beat up, shipwrecked, hungry. And what does he say? He says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." What is that? "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." What are we talking about? His divine presence resting upon him. He's saying, my grace, my favor, my divine presence is all you need. That's all you need. But look at the shift. See, when we talk about grace, and we talk about favor and something that has the ability to replenish and resupply, that which is lacking in your life, what got resupplied here? Look what he said. After the Lord spoke that, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong, resupplied with strength to overcome the obstacles and to walk through them. And there's things we're going to face where we're going to have to cry out to God and not think we can do it on ourselves or in our own strength, because you won't make it. And we're going to have to cry out to Him. And when we do, and ask for His divine assistance, we get strengthened with His presence, and then all things are possible with Him. Everything's possible with Him. And one of the things, you know, when we look at words, one scripture that comes to mind, and you can look this up. We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. So if there's something that's lacking in your life, there's a need to do what? Hear more. But when you look up that word in that scripture verse, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, that's not logos, that's rhema. So by the revelation from God, that's where faith comes. Faith comes from the unfolding and revealing of His Word. That's rhema. And so, as we go forward, and the same thing, Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, the rhema of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. That, when we get revelation, when we get insight into an area, when God gives us a strategy, that's when you want to release those words of faith. It will change the situation. And that's what God is instructing us. Look to Him for a strategy. Look for Him for insight and revelation in an area. Ask Him, how do we approach this, Lord? What am I supposed to do? Because we can call down heaven upon the earth. And that's what God is instructing us to do, requiring us to do, to change and have an effect, an impact in this earth. I looked up something recently, and I'm telling you, God is instructing all of us, we're going to need to change. See, we get stuck sometimes. We get cushy. And sometimes God needs to unsettle some things for us to change. But the world, when you look at the average age of the world, it's under 25 years of age. This earth doesn't have the solutions. The church does. And they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God with His divine presence. And that's what He's waiting for. And we're going to impact this earth with faith-filled words under His favor and His anointing. And we're going to change things and reach the lost, reach people. Forget about how they look. They're hurting. They're bumping around, doing drugs, doing sex, whatever they're into, they're trying everything, but there's a void, and they're just looking for love. They're looking to be loved and looking for God. And we've got it. We've got it. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us of our words, reminding us that we can do all things through Christ, through grace. And we thank you, Father, that we'll never come up short or lacking in anything as we seek you and depend upon you. In the name of Jesus.